So I'm hoping that we all have pages 252 all the way to 255. If you have those pages, and I was leaving a decision up to you. I don't know if I got an answer yet. Do we want to do a chazara on pages, on what we learned on pages 251 and 252 and 253?
My notes.
All right.
I think chazara would be a good idea.
How are we doing with the WebEx? Did that actually work out?
Yes.
So Yehuda can hear me?
He can hear you.
Okay. But Yehuda, muted. On WebEx they have a very nice feature, and you press a button and it actually does a recording for you. So if you find that button, that's one of the nice features of WebEx. I don't think...
As well as the mute button.
Skype has that. What? Yeah, the mute button. That's the old... Okay. Now, let's try to highlight what we learned last week here on pages 252 to 253. We have a very important Tosfos at the beginning of Perek Kol HaKelim on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Tosfos points out that there seems to be a contradiction between this sugya here at the beginning of Kol HaKelim in the name of Rav Yehuda and the sugya back in Kira on Daf Mem Vav. There are two statements, both are attributed to Rav Yehuda, the Amora, and they contradict each other at first glance. Here in Perek Kol HaKelim, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that if you have a kli shemalachto le'isur, for example, a kurnos shel nefachim, you cannot use it for anything. Even legufo, which means lefatzeach bo asad gozim, you simply can't use it. And yet, the same Rav Yehuda in Perikira on Daf Mem Vav goes on record as saying that if you have a ner, a receptacle into which you put oil and a wick, and it's designated as a ner, that's what you do with that receptacle, and it's called Shraga de Mishcha, it's not Muktzah Machmas Mius, and you're allowed to be metaltal it. You're allowed to move it. Now, obviously, if he's moving it, he's not doing so for the purpose of lighting it on Shabbos. He's doing it for some other purpose. And that would be a classical application of the rule that Kli Shemalachto Le'isur is Mutal Le'taltal Le'tzorech
Gufo.
Excellent. This is the case of Tzorech Gufo. I need the receptacle for something, whatever purpose I'm using it for. And I'm allowed to move it. It's a cliche of lachali. So it's a tzor gufo. And that would be embracing the sheet of Rabbah here at the beginning of Perikol HaKelim, because Rabbah is of the opinion that a cliche of lachali isur is mutal tatal tzor gufo. But yet Rabbi Yehuda himself is the one who argues against Rabbah that a kurnos shel nefachim is also a taltal l'tzor gufo for the sake of fatzeah bo asad gozim. So how do we reconcile these two statements of Rabbi Yehuda? Now, if I'm moving too fast, slow me down. The reason why I'm moving fast is only because I'm reviewing what we did last week, so that'll give us the sedge way to go on today. So Tosfos presents the following reconciliation. And he says the following, that with regard to Shraga de Mishcha,
what does that mean?
That's a ner that's used for, it's designated for use to light. You're allowed to move it only with Tzarech Gufo. Rabbi Yehuda in Perek Kira was only focused on the issue of Muktzah. And he said that it's not Muktzah because Mimarav Shach doesn't fit into Muktzah. It's not Muktzah Machmas Mius in that case. nor is it Mukta Machmas Isur because he didn't light the candle that Shabbos. So as far as Mukta is concerned, we're okay. We've covered our bases. The issue could be Klisha Malachali Isur. And that's where Rav Yehuda would say you're only allowed to move it Litzorech Gufo. But why are you allowed to move it Litzorech Gufo? Listen carefully, Rav Osai. Because the manufacturer, when he sells this nair, again, this is Berzon talking, not Rav Yehuda, and not Tosfos, but when he manufactures it and he gives you a list of functions, because he wants to market the kli, on the list is that you can use the kli for many different things. It's not sold or manufactured for a specific purpose. Again, it's used as a nair, generally speaking, but it also has secondary usages. And that makes it into a kli shemalachto le'isur, but at the same time, it's a kli shemalachto le'heter. Ben, I don't have to be concerned about this, do I? That it went black. Okay, fine.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking. I don't know. Okay? Rav Yehuda says that a kurnish shel nefachim is not allowed to be used to lefatzeh bos hagozim. Tosfos says that's because it's a malacha grua, which means it's not even listed amongst the enumerated functions that you could possibly use with this kli. It is a use which you cannot even classify as a secondary use.
It's so remote.
It's remote. It's something that is not used. This kli is dedicated for carpenters. It's not dedicated for cracking nuts. You can buy a nutcracker for a fraction of the price. But if you're buying this sophisticated kli that's being produced for the professionals in their field, like I always give you the example of in dentistry, right? There are certain utensils that are very expensive and very sensitive that are produced for dentists. You could use it, I don't know as what, but that's not on the list. That's called a malacha grua. And that's where Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rava. He's saying, okay, you want to move a klisha malacha leheter litzorech gufo, that's all right, as long as it's a malacha chashuva. It's not your main designated malacha, but it's a secondary malacha, and it's also on the list. But if you have a malacha grua, which is not even on the list, it's not manufactured in such a way that it's designated, it's appropriate for cracking nuts. Cracking nuts is going to, maybe it'll ruin the thing, I don't know what, but that's not what we want to do. That's where Rav Yehuda says that you cannot move a klisha malachto le'isur le'tzorech malacha grua. And Rav Nechemya, again, I want to emphasize, he goes a step further, and he says you can't use a klisha malachto le'isur, or for that matter, even a klisha malachto le'heter, for any purpose other than its prime designated purpose. And that's called tashmish ha-miyuchad lo. That's Rav Nechemya. But leaving out Rav Nechemya, we're going to go with the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, no, if it's a klisha malachto le'isur, then use it le'tzorech malacha chashuva le'gufo, but not a malacha grua. Now we have the Ravid. The Ravid says the following, and this is very sensational. Says the Ravid, the Nair itself, back in Kira Pei Medaf Mem Vav, is not a klisha malachto le'isur. It's a klisha malachto le'heter. Redefine your terms, says the Ravid. What is a klisha malachto le'isur? A klisha malachto le'isur means I use the kli in order to do a malacha. I use it for carpentry work, I use it for plowing, I use it for music, and so forth and so on. That's a klisha malachto le'isur. The isur part in the nair is not the nair itself. The nair is a receptacle. It's a kli. You put shemen in it, and you put a wick in it, and you light the wick, you get a shalhevis, and that's fine. That's the Easter part. But the kli itself, by isolated, is a kli shemalachta leheter. It has many different functions. And then Afkavina is that, and this is Rabbi Kivega's big deal, that if you accept the Raimid sheet against Tosfos, then in the case of Nair, you would be allowed to move the Nair even if it wasn't Litzorech Gufo, because it's a kli shemalachta leheter. So take a look here on page 252 in the first major paragraph, which is the second paragraph on the left column. Do you see what it says on the left column? The Ayin Rabbi Kivega. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Kivega points out that the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Ayin Tes, when he clears the way from Muktzah in the case of Ner, and he says, well, this Ner is not Muktzah because we accept Rabbi Shimon that there's no such thing as Muktzah Machmas Miyus. Number two, it's not Muktzah because he didn't light it that Shabbos, so it's not Muktzah Machmas Isur. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mutol Etalfalo. You're allowed to move it, says the Magen Avraham. What do you mean, Mutol Etalfalo? It's a Klisha Malato L'Isur. You're allowed to move it, Litzor Gufo, Litzor Makomo, but not Litzor Mechama Litzel. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch qualify this? Says Rabbi Kiveger, Gaval Gechidish, that the Mechaber passes like the Raivit. And if the Mechaber passes like the Raivit, then it means that the Nair is a Klisha Malato L'Heter. And if it's a Klisha Malato L'Heter, then it's an absolute all-inclusive Heter Tiltul. Now the Rabbi Kiveger is going to have another piece of Torah that's again going to go along the same lines. And again, I don't want you to lose your place on 252, but you'll see on the top of page 253, Rabbi Kiveger. Okay, so that's what you want to underline. But let's go back to page 252. This is the second Shtickel Torah of Rabbi Kiveger, but it's exactly the same. A mirror image. The Gemara establishes on Daf Mem Dalet, in the name of Rav, that if you designate a mita for Mos, you're not allowed to move the mita. And the Gemara explains, because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And even though the mita, this couch, is a kli, but nevertheless, if he designated it exclusively for mukta, namely for Mos, then Rabbi Yehuda says it has the same status of the Mos and it's mukta. Fine. Now, Rabbosai, ask yourself the following question. If we reject Rabbi Yehuda in terms of mukta, and I'm talking about Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore a mita sheyach yichto lemos is not mukta, and we accept Rabbi Shimon, then what's going to be the deal with this mukta, this mita sheyichto lemos? Completely mutter? Or only litzor gufo? Because again, whenever you exclude mukta, you drop down one level to what? Klisha Malachto Lisa. This is become Klisha Malachto Lisa. What's a Klisha Malachto Lisa? A Kli that's designated for Isa. This Kli is designated for the Mos. So it's a Klisha Malachto Lisa. It's like the case of Kurdish on the Fachim. And yet, the Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see quoted on the bottom left column, in Siman Shin Yud, brings the din of Mita Sheikhtel Mos, and he says, Mutal Etaltala. You're allowed to move this couch. Says the Gra, I don't understand. Why didn't he qualify and say you're allowed to be metalto litzor gufo as a klisha malach lisa, but he leaves out litzorach makoma? Says Rabbi Kiveger on the top here of page 253 that the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Raivit, and the Raivit holds that a kli, as long as it's a kli, is not a klisha malach lisa. The fact that you delegate it for isa doesn't mean that you're doing an isa with the mita. What's a klisha malach lisa, says the Raivid, when you take this kli and you use it to do a malacha? But here he's not using the mita for a malacha. The mita he's using for a receptacle, if you will, for something that's mukta, but it's not a klisha malach lisa. So that's what we started with last week, and what we got up to is a summary of the Machlokas between Tosis and the Raivid, which is here on the right column on 253, and we're up to Das Tosis HaRid on the bottom of 253. So let's again go through this summary, and he points out that Tosis' Shita on Daf Lamed Vav, which we saw yesterday, is that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Shimon rejects Mukta, but he agrees and he accepts the din of Klisha Malach Talisa. We only find the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda on two cases. Number one, you have a discussion about a ner shelo hidliku bosa Shabbos. They didn't light it, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's mukta because it's mos, and Rabbi Shimon rejects that. And then you have another issue on a ner that you did light on Erev Shabbos. Going into Shabbos, the Nair is lit. It extinguishes itself midway through Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's still Muktzah because Migu diskatzoy ben Hashvas katzoy l'kul yom. Rabbi Shimon rejects Migu. And therefore, the very moment that the candle is extinguished, you're allowed to use the candle. You can move it. You can take the Shemen and use it for your purposes inside your salad. Do whatever you want with it. But we don't find a machlokes, says Tosfos, regarding the Nair itself. Let's say the Nair wasn't Muktzah Machmas Mius, but it's designated for lighting. He didn't light it this Shabbos, it becomes a Klishim Lachli. So on that count, we don't find any Machlokes Shun Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. Clearly, even Rav Shimon, who rejects Muktzah, agrees and adopts the sheet of Klishim Lachli. And therefore, with regard to this Nair, you're only allowed to move it Litzorech Gufo, Litzorech Makom, but not Michamel Litzel. And that's the sheet of Tosfos. In the middle of this presentation, I noticed that he writes Ve'venu b'shi'ur hakodem.
What is that?
That's on in the paragraph that starts Das Tosfos. Do you see the a big black, you know, a big bolded Das on Tosfos?
Yeah.
No, that's Das Tosfos Rid. I'm talking about the first one, Das Tosfos. Do you see that? So if you drop down the second line, he says Ve'venu b'shi'ur hakodem. So that already aroused my curiosity, because I came to the conclusion that maybe we skipped something very important. So I would like to go back to the Shiur HaKodem, but let's see exactly what, you know, I don't want to create an anarchy here. We got to go with some organized okay, fine.
Procedure.
And then he quotes the Sheet of the Ravid, and he has the Vilna Gaon. Now this Vilna Gaon is very important to us. And that's really what the Shiur HaKodem is all about. So I'm just going to mention only the main highlight of what the Gaon wants to say here in the paragraph Vehine Hizkarnu. Same paragraph that we started. The Gaon wants to say that Klisha Malach Talisa is not Mukta because Ein Kan Haktsa Midas Milish Tamishpo. Mukta means I'm not going to use this. You know, it's locked up, it's sensitive, it's expensive, all the different things that we had even in the case of Oakland.
It's a big issue.
It's out of my realm. It's haktzah, midas, I'm not going to use this. It's like grogos v'tzimukim, it's too sour to eat. All the different cases of mukta. However, if you have a klisha malach talisa, says the Gaon, that's something totally different. There, although it does have a designation for Isur, but it has many different functions. And pa'amim, sometimes mishtamish bo b'derech haroi l'davar mutar. Sometimes he uses it for something that's mutar, and that's called litzorech gufo. For example, we talked about the corner shell nefachim. That hammer could be used from time to time to break up nuts. Fine. So it has many different functions. So he's not Maksa Legamri. There's no Aksa Legamri here. He doesn't completely say, you know what, I'm not using this. He realizes in the back of his mind, at least, that maybe there might be an occasion where he wants to use it. It has many different functions. Says the Gaon, now we enter into a whole different field, a whole different territory. We're no longer talking about Mukta. We're no longer talking about Aksa Mitashmish. We're talking now about Gzeras Kalim. And this you'll see four lines up before the end of this paragraph. You want to underline the words Gzeras Kalim. What's Gzeras Kalim? This goes back to the time of Nehemiah HaNavi. And he said, we don't want you to move around Kalim, because you start moving around Kalim, I don't know where it's going to end up. It might undermine your Shvisa Shabbos. It might lead to Malachos. It might upset your whole... Everything has to be focused on Litzorech Hayom, Litzorech Shabbos. And if you use it for other different purposes, that's not considered Litzorech Hayom. Says the Gaon, that Gzer of Kalim, although at the time of its original establishment was all-inclusive, but over the course of time, we whittled it down, it became less restrictive, we lowered the floodgates, but we never got rid of it, so to speak. We never completely undermined the original Gzera Kalim. There's vestiges of that Gzera even today, and that's called Klisha Malach Talisa. What are you not allowed to do with the Klisha Malach Talisa?
Use it for its original purpose.
No, again, I'm going to say it again. What are you not allowed to move the Klisha Malach Talisa for? Excellent, Michamal Itzel. You saved my life, Shmuel. I owe you my life. I owe you my life. For that, I'm going to have to invite you home to my house. We'll have to have some pizza together. I don't know what. Whatever you like. You saved my life. It's awesome to be metaltal. Klishim lachlisum Michamal Itzel. Why? Says the Gaon, because that's not Litzor Chayom. You're already thinking about tomorrow. You're already worried about the fact that you may lose the object. That's putting your mindset and connecting it to Chol. That's the Gaon. So the Gaon says that Tosfos discovered that this Gzeir of Kalim, which now, today, at the end of all this historical development, which we'll get up to later on, which now what's left, in Yiddish we say Vos Geblibben, what's left from that whole thing of Gzeir's Kalim, is that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon accept the Iser L'Taltel, Klish HaMalachto L'Iser L'Tzora, Michamal Itzel. And Tosfos says we never found any machlokas about this point. There's no reason to assume that Rabbi Shimon would allow it. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon in one Raisa, you remember that we studied yesterday, you're allowed to be mental to the shofar? Yeah, and not only the shofar, even the chatzotzra, according to Rabbi Shimon, that was the one Raisa that allowed it straight. Because that's only, says Tosfos, Litzora Gufo. But Litzora, Chamal Itzel, even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's also. So here the Gemara attributes that Raisa to Rabbi Shimon. And the Raisa says you're allowed to be metaltel, a shofar, and a chatzotzra. Okay, a shofar doesn't bother me so much because legamei bos atino, you know, you could argue that it's very close to a klisha malachtel heter, and I have no doubt that's how Rashi understood it. But yeah, grant me that in the case of chatzotzra, which you can't use to feed a child, then it's going to have to be at least a chutz, at least a klisha malachtel iser, which is also michamul itzel. So when the Raisa says that according to Rav Shimon, you're allowed to move a shofar or a chatzotzra, that's only with a limited restriction. You're allowed to use it, move it, and use it with Targufa, but not Michamal Itzel. Because that's already Gzeres Kalim. Gzeres Kalim is Klisha Malachtel Isa Michamal Itzel, and even Reb Shimon agrees. And both Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon allow you to move it with Targufa. Both Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda disallow you to move it with Michamal Itzel. And then we get to the Raivin sheet. The Raivin wants to say that what is a Klisha Malachtel Isa? Klisha Malachtel Isa means that you do the Malacha with the Kli. But if the Kli is designated for something that is Osir on Shabbos, but you're not using the Kli for that Isur, you have Shemen inside the Ner, then it's not a Kli Shemalachta L'Isur. Is there anyone who would say, that's what we're up to now, that even that Rav Shimon rejects not only Mukta, but even Kli Shemalachta L'Isur? Is there anyone who would argue that according to Rav Shimon, in a case of a klisha malachtel isur, mutar letaltelo legamre, afilu michamal itzel.
So he's a son?
I can't hear you.
His son? Wasn't the son of Rav Shimon?
The only son I see, what?
You see?
Yeah, a little bit. It's peeking out from behind the clouds.
Well, very good.
No, what I meant to say is Rashi. Rashi says that when shofar and chatzotzra are mutal etaltalo, in that price, according to Rav Shimon, it means mutal etaltalo, unqualified, even michamal itzel. Because Rav Shimon never embraced the shita of klisha malachtel isur. He never accepted the gzeres kalim. To the same extent that he never accepted muktzah, he never accepted gzeres kalim. That's the shita of Rashi. And the author of this essay found this in a Tosfos Rid. Again, as I mentioned to you yesterday, Tosfos Rid is not your well-trodden Rishon. You know, you won't see him on the first, on the, you know, splashed on the front cover of the Rishonim of the day. You know, he's there. I'm not chas v'shalom. If I'm not mistaken, he came from a very illustrious family called Tarani family, I think, if my history is correct. So let's read it inside. And Harvey, I want to make sure you're on the right paragraph here. Now we're looking at Das Tosfos Rid. It's in big black. You got it. Ach nire, it seems that the Kama Rishonim Pligi Bazeh, that there are Rishonim who argue against Tosfos. The Ayin Tosfos Rid, the Halachas of Pesakim, Sha'omer Lehedja, he says explicitly, Sheklish and Malachto Le'isur, Mitoras Mukta Naguba. It is an extension, if you will, of Mukta. And who rejects Muktzah Rav Osai? Rabbi Shimon. So if he rejects Muktzah, he's going to reject the extension or the offshoot of Muktzah, namely Chli Shemalach Elisa. And therefore, Halacha, we passing like whom in the Machlok Shin Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda? Like Rabbi Shimon, is therefore we're going to reject Kli Shemalach Talisa. Is therefore Lididan, the Leslan Lidin Zeh, we never accepted this din of Muktzah, is therefore Mutal Taltal Kli Shemalach Talisa, Af Michamal Itzel. And according to this pshat, forget about Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega wanted to say that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like the Ravid. Forget about it, we don't have to introduce the Ravid. Now we can circumvent the whole business. Now we can say the reason why the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simon Reish Ayin Tes, as we saw that a Ner is Mutal Etaltal, is because a Ner is a Klisha Malach Talisa, but we pass like Reb Shimon. And you're allowed to move it even Michamal Etzel. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Yud says that Mita Sheyichta Lemos is Mutal Etaltal is because we paskin like Reb Shimon. And we reject not only Muktzah, but we reject Klisha Malach Talisa. So that's what comes out according to Tosfos Reed. So Rav Osai, if I were to give you a quiz question, and I would quote to you two paragraphs in the Shulchan Aruch, both of which the Shulchan Aruch is Matir Tiltul, in Simon Reish Ayin Tes is Matir Tiltul of a Ner, again if it wasn't lit on Erev Shabbos, and in Simon Shin Yud is Matir Tiltul in the case of Mita Sheyichta Lemos, and I ask you what sense can we make out of these two statements, these two opinions of the Shulchan Aruch, you would offer me two different approaches. One approach is that of the Ravid, that maybe the Shulchan Aruch embraced the Ravid, and the Ravid holds that a Kli Shemalach Talisa is only a Kli that actually is used for the Malacha, as opposed to the couch, which is not used for any Malacha, as opposed to the Ner, which is not used for any Malacha. Again, it's designated for a Malacha in both these cases, but you don't use it to do the Malacha. Or alternatively, another approach to the Shulchan Aruch is to say the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Tosfos Rid, and Rav Shimon who rejects Muktzah rejects Kli Shemalach Talisa, and therefore these two cases, Enochinami against the Rabbi. It is a Kli Shemalach Talisa, but we don't accept the Gzeirah of Kelim.
Isn't this Shita of the Tosfos Rid now contradicting every time we said that Rav Shimon was Moda to something being Muktzah?
Well, again, that's on the Muktzah.
He holds Muktzah, but less. And then, right?
Correct. There are cases in which he agrees it's Muktzah. If you really want Muktzah Bedas, you know, you put the figs up on the, you know, the raisins, the grapes, excuse me, up on the roof. Or you took your expensive clean, you locked it up. You know, there are cases of Balei Chaim and so forth and so on. But that's not relevant to our point today. I'll tell you why, Shmuel. Because now we're finished with Muktzah, so to speak. Let's put Muktzah on the back burners. Whatever cases Reb Shimon accepts in Muktzah, he accepts. Whatever he rejects, we pass him like Reb Shimon, and there's no Muktzah. There's no Muktzah with Migu, there's no Muktzah with Mius. And that's how we pass it. Now we're dropping down one level. What about something that's not Muktzah? It's a Kli, and it has many functions. Its primary function is for the sake of Isur. Does Rav Shimon accept the Gzeir of Kalim?
Probably not.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get to Tosfos Rid, again, I'm sorry if I could just finish the question. Does he accept that Kli Shemalach Talisa under the Gzeir of Kalim is also the Taltal of Michama Litzel? Tosfos says yes. We never found Reb Shimon arguing on this. And comes on the Tosfos Rid, he says no. Just like he rejects Muktzah Reb Shimon, he also rejects Kli Shemalach Talisa. And then he writes in the last paragraph, and again, when I read this the first time, I was totally disoriented. Now, Baruch Hashem, because of yesterday's discussion, I'm a little bit oriented. And these are the three brises on Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, Lamed Vavim and Aleph, regarding Shofar and Chatzotzra. And the Gemara says that according to one particular brisa, you're allowed to move a shofar, but not a chatzotzra. And the reason why you're allowed to move a shofar is because sometimes you use it to feed the child. So its ikar purpose and function is to blow a tekiah, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but it has a secondary function of megamin bo mayim letinok. And since it has a secondary function, therefore you're allowed to move it. And Rashi learns that you're allowed to move it, period. You know, he doesn't qualify it. Then we get to Chatzotzro, where the Braisa says you're not allowed to move it. That's Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you designate it solely for the purpose of using it for Isur, and it doesn't have a second function because it's not round, as we said, it's Pashut, so therefore it's Mukta. So let's go through the three Braises. And now we're on the top left column. Okay, so we have the first Braisa is Chada. That's the fourth word on the top left column. Chada, one Braisa says that you're not allowed to be metaltel, neither a chatzotzer nor even a shofar. The second Braisa says that you're allowed to move the shofar but not the chatzotzer. The third Braisa says you're allowed to move both the shofar and the chatzotzer. And the Gemara tries to reconcile these contradictions in these three braises. The Gemara introduces three different Tanoim. Ha, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Nechemya. According to Rav Nechemya, you're not allowed to move a kli unless it's a tzarech tashmisho amiyuchad lo. And therefore, according to Rav Nechemya, you're not allowed to move a shofar, even though you want to use the shofar to feed your child, but that's not its primary function. It's not tzarech tashmisho amiyuchad lo, and therefore it's awesome. And how much more so chatzotzra? If you're not using it for music, then it's not l'tashmish hamiyuchad. Then we drop down to Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yehuda's going to allow tiltal of a shofar, but not chatzotzos. Why? Because shofar, insofar as it has a function to feed the child, is therefore, it's a klisha malachto leheter, meaning it has another function, let's call it a significant function, for feeding the child, and therefore it's not mukta.
Why are you going to use it for feeding the child?
That discussion of yesterday. You see, a shofar is curved on at the end. It becomes like a funnel. So if you put liquids into the open, end of the shofar, then what happens is as the liquids trickle down, they become thinned out, and then you could put the shofar into the mouth of the shofar. Into the mouth of a baby, and it serves as a funnel. Do you follow me, Harvey?
Yeah.
You got it?
I'm with you.
Okay, good. Because it looked like you were fading away there, so I want to be more Yeshenin, make it Yeshenin. Okay. So now we have the second Braisa. The second Braisa differentiates between shofar and chatzotzos, because shofar, says Rashi, has a very significant purpose to feed the child, and therefore there's no isur mukta. What about chatzotzer? Chatzotzer, you can't feed a child, and therefore becomes mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then we have a third braisa, and the third braisa says that you're allowed to move both a shofar and a chatzotzer. And the answer is because we're holding now like Rabbi Shimon, who rejects mukta. So tells us, all right, he rejects mukta, but what about klisha malachta l'isa? And Rashi's not impressed by that. Rashi holds that Rav Shimon can be matir moving even a chatzotzra, even though that's a classical case of klisha malachta l'isur, and you're allowed to move it with tzara chama l'tzel, because according to Rashi, Rav Shimon rejected not only mukta but also klisha malachta l'isur, just like the Tosa Rid. So again, if I would tell you the Tosa Rid holds like this, you would tell me, oh, okay, Tosa Rid. Against all the other Rishonim. But now I have to impress you because I'm telling you it's Rashi's Shita. Okay, Rashi's the Gdolia Rishonim, the Godolship Gdolia of the Rishonim. You can't put Rashi on the side here. So Tosis is going to say that at the very least, even according to Rav Shimon, Chatzotzis has to be a Klisha Malachta L'Isa, which is also Mitabi Mechamal Itzel. The Braisa says that you're allowed to move Chatzotzros, you're allowed to move a Shofar. The answer is you're allowed to move it. Let's start Gufo. Again, I don't know what the Lutzar Gufo is in the case of Chatzotzra. That we couldn't figure out. You know, like you said yesterday, David, I think he's using it as a hearing aid. Okay? I thought he was using it maybe for some other purpose, but whatever it might be. So he says the following. Is Bira Tosus Shechatzotzus Kevin Sha'omdos Rak Limeleches Isur Havikimita Sheyifta Lemos Dechashiv Klisha Malachal Isur Gomor. And what's the difference between calling something a klisha malachta l'isur and calling it a klisha malachta l'isur gomur? The difference,
no other use.
Right. No other use, and therefore, but what's the difference, lahalach, and according to whom? That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, because Rabbi Yehuda says that once it's a klishim lachalis or gomur, then it's like being makta midas. He's not going to use it at all because it's exclusively dedicated for Isur and for no other purpose whatsoever. That's chatzotzra, and therefore becomes mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda. What about shofar? Shofar is going to be a klishim lachalis that has many different functions. It's not exclusively used as a shofar to make music, and therefore klishim lachalis is mutter legufo, but not michamel itzel. So you want to feed your child with the shofar, that's fine. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says shofar is okay, but he means it's okay as far as sort of gufo is concerned. And here, even Rabbi Shimon would agree when he was matir the shofar that he was only matir litzor gufo. And not only that, even when Rabbi Shimon was matir chatzotzra, that's because he wanted to say, I don't accept the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda as far as mukta is concerned, but I do embrace the sheet of kalim of klishim lachal isur, and therefore it's going to be aser michamel itzel. That's what comes out according to Tosfos, but according to Rashi, it comes out that Rav Shimon rejects the concept of klishim alachta le'isur. He certainly rejects muktzah, and therefore both shofar and chatzotzra, insofar as they're both kalim, will be mutter betiltel, even michamel itzel. That's what it comes out according to Rashi. Now, when we get to the brayso of Rav Yehuda, this becomes very tricky because Rashi's going to have to admit that a klishim alach talisa, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, is also michamel itzel. So how did the braisa allow you to move a shofar? The shofar should be a klishim alach talisa. And the answer, I believe, is that Rashi holds that shofar is not a klishim alach talisa, not because of the Ravid's logic, because the Ravid would agree that shofar is a klishim alach talisa. You use the shofar to do the malacha, make the music. But rather, Rashi holds that a shofar has many functions, one of which is l'gabei bo'as hatinok, and that upgrades it to a klishim alachta leheter, if it's mutar even michamel itzel. So according to Rashi, let's go back to basics. You have a kurnas shel nefachim, and you want to use it to crack your walnuts. So what's Rashi going to say in this case? Well, actually, that's not a good example. Just one second. What I meant, so in that case, everybody's going to agree that you're allowed to muta, except for Rabbi Yehuda. Except for Rabbi Nechemia, and one second, and Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, with Malacha Grua. Okay, I don't know what Rashi would say about Malacha Grua. I don't know. Right now, I can't figure that out. Oh, what I meant to ask you a different question. Let's ask the following question. Karna shel nefachim, and it's out there in the sun, it's getting beaten down by the heat. Am I allowed to move it?
According to the Vilagon, no, because that's already a weekday.
Right, the Vilagon is linked up with Tosis that even Reb Shimon accepts. Well, I'm asking you according to Rashi, maybe I forgot to mention that, sorry. Again, according to Rashi, I have a karna shel nefachim and I want to take it out of the sun. Am I allowed to do that? That's going to be a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Mm-hmm. Because Rabbi Yehuda, insofar as he accepts muktzah, he extends muktzah, I call it a branch of muktzah, into klishim alach talisul tzorach chamel itzel. Rabbi Shimon, who rejects muktzah, rejects klishim alach talis. And therefore you'd be allowed to move a klishim alach talis according to Rabbi Shimon, mechamel itzel. The only thought that crosses my mind here is, wait a minute, according to Rashi, why did the Mishnah, when it wanted to give a case, an example, and illustrate klishim alach talisur in kurnas shel nefachim, why did the Mishnah say lefatzea bo es ha'eg gozen? Mishnah could have told you a bigger chiddush, even mechamel itzel. That's an interesting question. Nimtza, next paragraph. Shekol haloshen metaltel bebraisa, according to Tosfos Shita, when it says metaltel bebraisa, hainu litzor gufo o makomach lo michamel itzel. And even shofar, you're not allowed to move michamel itzel according to Shita Satosfos, because both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that a klishim alach talisa, you're not allowed to move it litzorech security, as I call it, michamel itzel. Then he writes in parentheses here, Yesh la ha'ir de Reb Kivega de Medayik betosus la medvav sha'omer shechatzotzus lo chozi l'mechas heter ala ma'at. I don't know if you remember this from yesterday, but we pointed out that Tosus adds an extra two words here, which really throw us for a loop. We thought chatzotzos are exclusively for music, and therefore it's muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Tosus, if you read it carefully, adds the word el ma'at, meaning that even in chatzotzos, although they're not like shofar that has a major tashmishal heter for the purpose of feeding a child, but nevertheless you could find various functions of a chatzotzer as well. It's also, shimushal heter. We call it yeshlo melachas heter rechoka. Rechoka means very rare. If you're very imaginative, ubir Reb Kiveger shemasho sifu tosvus zemishum she'ein im ena kli omen melachas isa gamar Reb Shimon nasim muktza. Oh, wow! This is a very important chiddush here of Reb Kiveger. Let's just think about this. Why does Tosfos say ela ma'at? Because if there would be no function whatsoever, then even Reb Shimon would agree.
Then is he a mitash sheyichdal amos?
Well, again, mitash sheyichdal amos is not muktzah according to Reb Shimon. It might be a klisha malachtel iser according to Tosfos Shita. But what I meant to say is that we've been creating a list of cases of books that even Reb Shimon agrees to. We have to add this now to the list. According to Reb Kiveger, a chatzotzra, if Lui Yitzur had no other function whatsoever other than for music, then even Reb Shimon would agree that it's muktzah. That's why Tosfos has to add the words El Ma'at, because Tosfos admits that according to Reb Shimon, there's no Yisur Muktzah in the case of Chatzotzros. It has another function. Call it a Klisha Malachtel Yisur, but don't call it Muktzah. But if Lui Yitzur, we came up with a Kli that had no other function except for X, and that X is also on Shabbos, then even Reb Shimon would call it Muktzah. And again, we're going to have to say what we said in the name of the Ramban, if you recall, of Hafkas Shem Kli, that it loses its status as a Kli if it only has one function, and that function is prohibited on Shabbos. It would be like the case of Bechar, if there's no Yoshev of Mitzapah, that what can you do with a Bechar? You can't do anything. You can't do Avodah with a Bechar, you can't Shecht it, it needs its meat. So therefore, Bechar is something that even Reb Shimon would agree is muktzah.
Chatzotzra is chazi lechisui emana. You could cover something with it.
Maybe. I don't know. You're right.
He argued previously that there are rocks in people's yard that are functional enough to cover something. Chatzotzra can definitely cover something.
Right. Excellent point. So let me just reiterate what Shmuel is saying. If you remember the sugi of Rav Avia, who put his dirty shoes on the table when he came to Rav, so Rav tested him, and Rav Avia held his own. And Rav Avia said the following, that Eitzim Vavonim was never a kli to begin with. So the fact that you could use these little tzroros to cover over a mana, that doesn't generate a shame kli. But in the case of a kli that had a shame kli to it, and then let's say it lost its shame kli, I can reestablish or continue to maintain the shame kli if I can use it lechasos ba as hamana, some sort of kli. So Shmuel's pointing out that in the case of chatzotzra, I should be able to use it lechasos be mana.
It's funny,
right? I call it a paperweight.
The shape. Maybe vaguely appropriate.
to cover a mana. Maybe. Yes. I don't know. I see a chatzotzis. Good. So again,
on
both sides, there's an important point in Rebbe Kivega. Let's just make it. I wish somebody here would be my... maybe Shmuel, you don't mind being my scorecard here. Keep the records here. That on the list of cases that Rebbe Shimon agrees to Mukta, which we had Grogris Vitzim Mukim, with the Rashi Shita that he was Docha B'Yadayim, the Rambam says it's lo chazi without docha v'yadayim, and we had the discussion about not only grogus v'tzimukim, but also about klisha malato, klisha muktzah machmas bisar and kiss. We had muktzah machmas isur in the case of ner shedolek. Now we could add another category, and that is a kli that has absolutely no function. And basically here we have to say it's mafkiya shem kli. Now in the next paragraph he says, V'divrei atosis b'nuyim al kach sheshofar choshim kli shemalat al iser uminosh ahet l'talthu l'tzok gufu l'tzok mobil vad v'sim atosis mi b'tov pirush akunshis mashma d'shofar v'kli shemalat al heter. The kli shemalaiso le'isur v'heter. Just 1 second, malachto. There's a chaf missing. If you could correct that, can you correct that? There's a printing mistake. It should say kli shemalachto le'isur v'heter dino ki kli shemalachto le'heter umutu l'talto af micham le'tzel. Please underline this paragraph, because this is an excellent summary. And if we have to start again, we want to start from here, so we don't go back to the beginning. And he says that a kli shemalachto le'isur ula heter, according to Rashi, is called a kli shemalachto heter, and you're allowed to move it l'tzor mi'chama l'tzel. And therefore Rashi takes the word metaltalin without any qualification as being unqualified af tiltul mi'chama l'tzel. And that's in the case of shofar. Masha enken, ach masha en metaltalin lo shofar lo chotzos, hu kirab nechemya. Hilka kevin sheshimusha ikri miuchalo l'tkiya shofar afim mishtam shal gameh satin ein za ikar shimusha l'kach ein metaltalin b'shabes klal. That's according to Rav Nechemya. There's no tiltal whatsoever in the case of shofar. However, according to both Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, a shofar becomes a kli shemalachto leheter, and the issue of chatzotzos is muktza. And that's in the last paragraph here on page 253. He says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, shofar metaltal mishum shemalato leheter. V'chatzotzos ein metaltalos mechama l'tzel. Oh, what's mechama l'tzel? Oh, that's interesting. Just 1 second. This I don't, this is a chiddush to me. What does it mean mechama l'tzel? Talking about chatzotzos. Lachtel Isa Veheter. Oh, I think I got it. No, thought I had it. So I can re show from Metal to Mishum. Shemalachto leisur. Shemalachto leheter. This is Lechori is going to Rashi here. Am I right? Lekach pirish Rashi in the previous paragraph. This is a hemshech. Rabbi Yehuda shofar metalto mishum shemalachto leheter. Oh, what about chatzotzos? Chatzotzos einon metaltos michama letzel. Wait a second, we're going to Rav Shimon. I'm a little confused here. I don't know how to read this. Can anybody help me?
Because it's a Maklisha Mato Le'iser Ve'eter. So he says that proves that according to Rashi, he's agreeing with the Tosfot Reed that Rav Shimon doesn't hold of Kalisha Malachto Le'iser being Usser at all.
Right, so why does he say Eina Metalkos Micham Letzel? That's like, that gets me confused.
Because the previous Indian was that the Tosot, that the whole, the Brayta seems to read most naturally that the whole Indian is Letzorach Gufo. Is Micham Letzel, is Letzorach Gufo. So that doesn't prove that it's Michama Mutter either.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like this. According to Rav Shimon, even Chatzotzos is Mutter Michama Letzel. That's Rashi Sheet, because it's Rav Shimon never accepted Klisha Malachta Le'isur with an Isur Michama Letzel. That's how I understand. But now let's go to the Braisa of Rav Yehuda. In the case of Shofar, we're going to say there's a Heter Tiltu because it's considered Malachta Le'heter. Now let's get to Chatzotzros. So I would say the following, that Chatzotzros is Muktzah, according to Rav Yehuda. Why does he write here, V'chatzotzros eina metaltalos mitchamel itzel mishum shemalata liisa leheter. Let me just read the next line, maybe it'll get clearer. Ach ma shenemar shem metalta gav shofar gam chatzidetz Reb Shimon. Kosher hachatzotzes kli shemalata liisa. There's something fluky over here. Just one second. Ach, my Shimon, the Talmud of Shimon says, "Shimon, the Kosher Chatzotzes Kli Shemalata." Oh, fine. In other words, according to Rashi in the Brisa of Shimon, you're allowed to be metalta both the shofar and a chatzotzra straight across the board, even mechamel itzel. And the question is, but at least chatzotzra is a kli, certainly, clearly a kli shemalata li. So the answer is that Rashi, like Reb Tosfos Rid, holds that according to Reb Shimon, there is no din of kli shemalata li. So that part of the paragraph I understand very beautifully. The first part of the paragraph eludes me, because he says that according to Reb Yehuda, you're allowed, you're prohibited in the case of chatzotzos mechamel itzel because of kli shemalata liisa. But Rashi's not saying that you're allowed to move chatzotzos litzar gufo, because just one second, chatzotzos is Rashi never accepted that chatzotzos is mukta, but rather it's a kli shemalata liisa. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, kli shemalata liisa is also mechamel itzel. Oh, I got it. Okay, Baruch Hashem. I got really nervous. I thought I was getting thrown for a loop. So, what do we do with kli shemalata liisa that's also mechamel itzel? It's not Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon holds there's no muktzah and there's no kli shemalata liisa. The answer has got to be Rabbi Yehuda. So even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that kli shemalata liisa is asur mechamel itzel. Not that he would agree. I shouldn't use the word agree, but that is the shita. The author of the shita kli shemalata liisa that's asur mechamel itzel, according to Rashi shita, is Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, if that price is Rabbi Yehuda, when it says that, yeah, you're allowed to move a shofar, but you're not allowed to move chatzotzos, we're talking about chamel itzel. No, it's whereas Tosfos understands that chatzotzos is to be defined as muktzah, Rashi understood that chatzotzos is a kli shemalata liisa. So what's the deal in the case of chatzotzos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's also mechamel itzel. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutar legamre, because Rabbi Shimon never accepted the issur of malach kli shemalata liisa. Oh, now in the case of shofar according to Rashi is a kli shemalata leheter, and the only one who would have problems with it is Rabbi Nechemiah. But both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would allow you to move it straight across the board without any qualifications. In the case of chatzotzos, the Brisa says that it's also, that's Rabbi Yehuda, and he means it's also mechamel itzel. Because Rabbi Yehuda, because Rashi never accepted that chatzotzos is mukti. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I got a little nervous. Yeah. Okay, now we're looking on page 254.
Just one question.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know one thing. Do you have page 254?
We should, yes.
Okay.
We don't have extra copies.
So Ben, now.
So in terms of the Gaon's thing that if you're thinking about chamel itzel as a hachanal, is it not possible two scenarios that A, the kli is going to start getting the kukal immediately, and even affect its use, had you wanted to use it on Shabbos, it's already going to start going sour, so to speak.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Look, if the need to use this kli litzar gufo comes up, then okay, we're going to allow you to use the litzar gufo. But we're not going to say up front and anticipate that you're going to use the litzar gufo. After all, it's a kanashal nefachim. And it's a kli shemalata liisur. You might use it to crack your walnuts, but we're not anticipating that. So to say, let's allow him to move it mechamel itzel, because maybe he'll need it lefatzeh, so it goes, and that far we're not going to go. At the end of the day, it is a kurdishel nefachi. Now, what would be if the following thing? I have my walnuts on my table. I have no walnut cracker. And I have a kurdishel nefachi, but it's out there in the sun. So the answer is, there I'm moving it, litzar gufo. Because moving it, litzar gufo, doesn't mean that right now I'm using it. I'm moving it so that I can use it, litzar gufo, if you follow what I mean. I mean, for example, we spoke about Madocha Sheish Bo Shum, and we said that you're moving the Madocha with the Shum on top of it, and then you're going to take the Shum and cream it off the top and then put it into David?
Yeah, like a bicycle. You've left it out. I'm thinking a common example. Okay. A bicycle's left out in the backyard. You're worried about it getting stolen.
Exactly.
But you couldn't bring it in. That would be because it's got no other function. And I would imagine bitachon is the same as sel v'chama, right? It's the same
sort
of.
So let's go through this. We're going to talk about bicycles now. Let's see. First, we'll talk about Tosfos Shita. Okay? Tosfos Shita is that a bicycle is like Chatzotra. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mukt. So you can't move a bicycle for any reason whatsoever, according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. So according to Tosfos, bicycle becomes a kli shemalachto le'isur. And a kli shemalachto le'isur is only mutl itzor gufo. So you want to bring in the bicycle for purposes of security, it would be also even according to Rav Shimon under the law of kli shemalachto le'isur. Now, if what I want you to think about as I go through my spiel is in the back of your mind, think, is there any way of using a bicycle for something else? Let's think about it. Right. Maybe you'll come up out of the box. Okay, wait, just give me a minute. Now let's go according to Rashi. According to Rashi, bicycle becomes a kli shemalachto le'isur. Kli shemalachto le'isur is also l'taltal mechama l'tzel, but only according to Rav Yehuda. I don't know who we passing like. Let's assume, theoretically, we passing like Rabbi Shimon, and that seems to be the Shulchan Aruch. If we passing like Rabbi Shimon, then the bicycle should have the same status as a Chatzotra, or arguably like a Mita Sheyichta Limbos, or like a Ner, which is used for lighting candles. And in all those cases, the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to move it without any qualification, says Rabbi Kivega, because it's the Ravid Shita. But leave out the Ravid Shita. Now we're taking a whole different approach, that the Shulchan Aruch is going to pass like Rabbi Shimon. And according to this Shita of Rashi and Rabbi Shimon, the same way, to the same extent, Rabbi Shimon rejected Mokzi, he also rejected Kli Shemalachto Lisa. And now I'm getting very chutzpahic, because now I'm about to say that maybe, I don't know where the Ramah fits in, but according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're a hardcore Sfaradi, then you should be allowed to move this bicycle back into the house. Now, but if I take Rabbi Kivega's approach, that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch is matir in the cases of Ner and Mita Shiyata Lamos is because in those two cases you're not doing the malacha with the kli, then a bicycle becomes a kli shemalachta le'isa, which is also a tautal of Yicham al-Itzel, even according to the Machab.
Right.
Okay, I finished my spiel. Now,
I was thinking, even according to Rashi and his approach, don't you still have to find some use for that chatzorot, for that bicycle?
Yes.
Even if it's 100. But if you
wait a minute. Chamal Itzel is considered a use. That's considered a tzor.
Ah, okay.
Right. If it's shalol tzor klal, I gave you the example. He's playing with his spoons on the table. That's awesome. Were we able to come up with any other function of a bicycle?
That's supposed to type as a tie clip.
Put a kid on it.
It's very small. Bicycle.
The most natural one. Put a kid on it.
You remind me of this video. You know that she doesn't want to pay for overwear, so she starts taking out everything from her suitcase, screaming at the woman in the Dalal Park. You know, why are you charging me for overwear? She starts putting on all the clothes, and then the woman says, "I still have to charge you overwear because you left with the." With the suitcase, so she puts it on her head as a hat, and she walks on to the plane. You know, that's what you remind me of. You know, the bicycle head becomes a bow tie. You know, but seriously, if we could come up with a serious function for a bicycle, I'm trying to think. I got an idea. Why don't we use a bicycle as a toy? What do I mean? Children like to play with wheels. You know, they
just say to spin the wheel.
Spin right? The wheel, exactly. Spin the wheel. And then we're not going to allow gambling, because gambling is also even during the week. It's certainly on challenge. But we can allow spinning the wheel for a child.
Right.
Now here's the deal. If it's common to do such a thing with a bicycle, like back in the first time, they actually used the shofar on many occasions as a funnel, then what? Let's think. Okay, it's not going to be good for us because I don't think in contemporary life we use a bicycle for that purpose. But so you did. But let's say back in the... So what would be the deal in the case of a shofar? So according to Tosfos, a shofar is also mechavel itzel, even according to Rav Shimon, because of klish v'malachalis. So that bicycle, that's not going to help us. But if you hold like Rashi, that a shofar is a klish v'malachal leheter. Why? Because you can use to feed the child, and I'm going to use this bicycle as a toy on Shabbos. Then it should be mutter, even mechamel itzel, according to Rashi. I don't think we're going to paskin like Rashi.
As long as you've got kids in your house that are of that age that would make use of it.
Correct. Well, yeah. I don't know. That's complicated. That's why I told you, David, you may have a neighbor on the block. Now, David, yesterday you were going to ask me a question. I was very lachutz, you know, to get the shiur. What was the question you were going to ask me?
We ate artichokes for lunch. Okay. And we had all the leftover leaves from the artichokes. You know, you
right.
One leaf at a time. I don't know if you've gone through this. My Moroccan...
ancestry.
Masoret wife Masoret. Taught me about these artichokes. They're going quite fun. So we got a big bowl of these peels at the end, and my son says, oh, you have to put something good in that bowl to move it off the table. Mm. And I told him, well, it looks like it's just garbage to me, and I don't think you need to have garbage on your table.
Right. Well, I would say it this way.
And I was interested to know where he was coming from and what
okay.
He must have heard something.
Yeah, he must have heard something. But what I would say is the following. Okay, so this is actually a sugya way, way later on in Masechta Shabbos, but Basher Husham, meaning if I'm going to answer your question just based on the half information that we have now, and admit to you right up front with limited liability, because we haven't really seen the sugya of rubbish and all that stuff. According to what we see now, this becomes like the case of the animal that died on Yom Tov.
What?
The animal died. Okay. So the Gemara says like that. He wants to feed the dog. He wants to feed the dog with the carcass and the animal. If the animal was a chola, then Rabbi Shimon applies the principle of Yoshev v'mitzah. Let's hone in on what's called artichoke leaves. Is it edible for an animal? Can you feed it to your dog?
Feed it to snails.
Okay, maybe you don't have a snail, a pet snail, or a pet dog.
Rabbits
I don't know.
Might eat it.
But your neighbor might have one. So I would say the following. That would be a case of Yoshev and Mitzapa. I know up front that I have these leaves. And I would even go a step further. Tell me if this is crazy, but it's impossible to suck out all the edible juices from the artichokes. There's got to be something left on there. So this is the sugya, which again, we haven't gotten to, vatsom, so bones, you know, chicken bones and stuff like that. Atzamot, what you have is chicken bones. So you can say, I'm going to feed it to my dog. You could say that maybe people who eat the marrow of the bone. You might even say that I left some little specks of chicken on the bone. But let's say A, B, and C is out. There's nothing left but the bone. There's no marrow in the bone, and no dogs would eat the bone. I don't know. If you say like
there's
that.
No dogs around.
So that's I don't know. I don't.
You don't like that?
No, not that I don't like that. My
well, why is that coming through my head?
My spider sense tells me that, and I may be wrong, but my spider cells tell me I don't know that I have to have the, you know, the dog
a
around.
A theoretical
correct.
Dog.
Correct. The theoretical door, you know.
Even
like the Tachashim in the time of the Mishnah, you know. It was Rashi says that God created the Tachash just for that moment in time. Go to the zoo, you won't find Tachashim in the zoo, right? But there's a theoretical possibility. But that's a different discussion that we really have to analyze. Is it theoretical or it's actual? I have to have the dog or not. But that's what I would say about the artichokes. That they still
a problem.
It's like atzamot. There's still something left there. You
I
know?
Can't just say it's rubbish and it's that annoys me.
So if it's rubbish, let's just think about that. If it's rubbish,
meals. No,
that you mean graf shel re'i. I know what you're referring to, but one second. So let's just say that. See, this also might touch on a different issue of yesh muktzel chatzi Shabbos or ein muktzel chatzi Shabbos. Meaning, the artichokes were mukhan going into Shabbos. Now you're left with the leaves. All of a sudden, it becomes muktzel. I don't know. is there such a thing as creating muksa midway in the middle of Shabbos? You know, we have to know about that too.
Wow.
But assuming that it could become muksa, so you're asking now, can it be a graf shel rei? And wait, just before we get to graf shel rei, just one last question. Would it be mutal itzorch makoma if I need a table? Let's just think that. And that's only in the case of klisha malatal isa. Here we're talking about muksa gomor, right? Because it's like eitzim avonim. If I can't do anything with it, I have no dogs to feed and the blah, 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 then litzorech makoma would not be a het. So then you're going to have to come on to graf shel rei. Graf shel rei is a very limited case, you know, where it's so intolerable that you can't sit at the table. I don't
but
know.
You let us take out the rubbish, you know, like...
So that's why I think, because the rubbish has in its stuff that could be fed to a dog.
That's why I can move the rubbish, because I can feed it to a dog.
I think. I don't know. So David, do me a favor, write me an email. I won't be able to answer you now because I don't know enough to answer your question.
But in a way, my son
was once it's
right,
in the email,
he was right because he said you need to have something good in it. That yeah, but, seems to be a way to get around it.
Yeah, but even that, you don't have to think. Then we have to get to the sugya of kikarotino, right? Or bosses l'davrasavav mut and all that kind of stuff, you know? Because you're not. But bosses l'davrasavav mut is not going to help me because I'm not moving the table. I'm moving the rubbish itself. So what are you going to put on top of the rubbish? You're going to put a kikarotino. Now let's just think about that. We had a machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Chacham Echad Shebedoro. And let's say we go to the Baal HaMor, then kikarotino is only for a mess, or alternatively for a klisha malach talisa. But now we're saying this rubbish is mamish muktza machmas gufo, so certainly kikarotino is out. Let's go according to the Chacham Echad. And he would say that you could always use kikar otino, as long as that is a shame kli. So that's not going to help me either. So honestly, I don't see why kikar otino is going to help you right now. Again, you know, if your son is quoting it, he must have heard it somewhere. So we have to know. You know,
I think I heard something similar. Like if I'm sitting down to have fruit, so I put a bowl and a spoon there, and then I put the peels onto that bowl with a spoon, and then I'm moving it afterwards. I was taught that sheet. I don't know the source of the...
You make sure in your head to keep your spoon there.
Yeah, I put a spoon there.
So you think about it.
I've heard about it before. Yeah, I put
and,
a spoon
and if
there.
If you didn't put the spoon in there, you're in the dilemma here.
Yeah, so I put a spoon down. No, I'm going to put peels on and then move the whole thing afterwards. I was taught that, but I don't know the sources behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe here's something similar.
You can also send an email to them.
Now, Rabosai, just one last point and then I'll let you go. So what we said here at the bottom of page 253 is that Chatzotros, according to Rashi's Pshat, in the Brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, is Aser B'Torah's Klisha Malachta L'Isra. However, that's not really true. So I don't know exactly if our Pshat here in this paragraph was correct, because now I'm looking at the top paragraph on page 254, and he's saying that the Lashon of Rashi is Chatzotzos Eina Re'uyos El Litkoa, right? Because he can't use it L'Gabea Boas Esatinok V'Avi Klisha Malach L'Isa V'Yosem Yishu Mukta, which means that it's also even Litzor Gufo, if you can come up with that. Udeloka hagra udeime, those who agree with the gra shall also mishum gzeres kalim, ela also mishum mukts of a chain behemshe chomani rab shim into lesley mukts of a vur shacholik legamri al din klishim lakhl isish sodo bidin mukts. In other words, Rashi is assuming, forget about klishim lakhl isa, klishim lakhl isa is another way of saying mukts. And klisha malach l'isa means it's exclusively dedicated for Isur, and therefore becomes mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda. And forget about klisha malach l'isa. V'chein mevur berash hazoken. V'chein od matzinu berashi b'gemara daf memheim it beis. In the case of kina shel tarnagolim, osu l'taltal maskonas gemar may bekluv reik. V'tamad Rabbi Yochanan on the maskonas mishum Rabbi Yochanan poskar Rabbi Yehuda v'mukta v'biratosu kina shel tarnagolim. Have a klisha malach l'isur, The Afle Reb Shimon also l'talto mi'chama l'tzel Shem Yochanan Sha'omar also l'talto I know a few shalol l'tzor gufo. I feel low. It's our gufo. Oh, makoma. Better Rabbi Yehuda Svir. Levi Mkein. Havi Kemita Shalmos. Chatzot Shalom. Nivrakli Shimush. Isel Kach. Rabbi Yehuda. Be Mukta Gomur. Achli Didan. The Islam. Rabbi Shimon. Mutal Tal. The low. It's our gufo. It's our makoma. Davi Kli. Shemalach. The Isur. Rabbi Kivega Shomal Atosvis, Vachain Kina Shatanagokas Vayan Rashi, Vikavanos Laharo Shakina Shaltanagolim, Havi Klisham Lakhtali Isur, Vyasur, Mishum de Islay Mukta. Ah, so Rabbi Kivega says, Ayan Rashi, meaning Tosus Lukhud and Rashi Lukhud. There's an argument here between Rashi and Tosu, where Tosus is saying Kina Shaltanagolim. Is going to be a klisha malachtali isur according to Reb Shimon, and it's also l'taltalo michama l'tzel. Rashi is going to say that a kina shel tanagol is a klisha malachtali isur, and then either you accept mukta, which is Reb Yehuda, and then it's mukta, and therefore it's also a filu tzor kufa, or you accept Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon rejects klisha malachtali isur, it's mukta even michama l'tzel. If he's also shapir Rashi kufnun zayin. The Tosus Ochiach Shem Reb Shimon Mode the Klisha Malachtali Isur. How did Tosus know? This David, you asked me yesterday. How does Tosus know that even Reb Shimon embraces the Chumra of Klisha Malachtali Isur? That's a Gemara Daf Kufnun Zayin. Mode Reb Shimon be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kiss, which Tosus now identifies with Mukta. Excuse me, with Klisha Malachtali Isur Shrei Tnan Kol Hakelim Litol B'Shabbos Chutzmi. Muktzin machmas chisaron kiss of shat ligemara sheperik ze ozlin kavadas Rabbi Shimon v'im kein af mishnah sein shomer shikurin shal nefach mutul taltalo rak litzor gufo mekomo v'lo michal tzosi nami li Rabbi Shimon muchak te islei klisha malach nisach Rashi nirishal shitoso ozil ulekach pirusha rayas hagemara mea mishnah kol kelim eino mishum shakol aperik Rabbi Shimon in kein lo kashal of mea mishnah rishonu lolam Rabbi Shimon polig bozeh. Reb Shimon never accepted the first mission in Perikol Kalim according to Rashi. El Shah Hochicha Gemara Miloshin Amishle Kol Kalim Nitolim. The Lamda Gemara Shekavon is Kol Kalim Nitolim Afi Malachtali Isur. In came Behek Reb Shimon he. The Adarav Mavur the Reb Shimon Mutal Etalto. So this is where we're going to stop here. But basically, what we have to work out here is to try to understand the Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaKelim according to Rashi, is it Reb Shimon or is it Reb Yehuda? If it says Kol HaKelim and he told him that that's Reb Shimon, who even in Klishim Latalisa is Mutal Taltal according to Rashi's understanding of Shimon. If on the other hand you're only allowed to use a Kurna Shal Nefachim Lefatzea Boe Gozim, which is the Sefer of the Mishnah, which means that Klishim Latalisa is only Mutal Tzor Gufo, then that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So I don't know. That's what we'll have to pick up tomorrow. How do we deal with the Reish of the Mishnah and the Seif of the Mishnah? They seem to be, at face glance, they seem to be contradictory. So what we're up to now, please make a note of it, is page 254 on the right column, the paragraph that starts, Ach Rashi. That's what we want to pick up tomorrow. And if, David, you would be kind enough, if you have the time, to write me a little bit of an email about the artichoke leaves that are left over at the end of the meal and whether you have to put something on top of them in order to move them, I would appreciate that. And with that, I'll wish everyone a great day and call our friends on WebEx.